Prosperity is more than money, as we know. It's about having the life you live, that you love to live, having joy, having fun, having friends, having wonderful relationships, living in New York City. How many people are performers here? Those who are or were performers know you have to travel out of town a lot if you're a performer. And one of the joys of doing performing is getting to perform wherever you are. And also, one of the things that is hard is leaving New York City to do it sometimes, because there's only so much work here in some ways, if you're a musical performer especially. Sometimes it's really quite difficult. What? What are you affirming? I am a child of God. Is that what you're saying? We affirm that with you. Now take that within. Really? Okay. I just got a job in North Carolina, yes. There you go. Bless you. Well, I was in South Carolina years ago. I was in Myrtle Beach. Have you been there? Oh, my God. Myrtle Beach. You put your hand up like you are happy about that. Look, she's writing notes. She's taking notes. It's like, yeah, this Myrtle Beach. Yes. Oh, good for you. I did not love Myrtle Beach. I was doing a nightclub work there on the beach. The work was wonderful. The people that I worked with were great. They were terrific. A little too redneck for my taste. You know, I was really, really missing New York at that point. I was new into Unity. I was affirming every day, please God, you know how we do, please God, get me back to New York. It worked eventually, I was happy to say. But while I was there, it was really difficult. There was a lot of putt-putt golf. A lot of fried foods, which is not good for you if you're a performer, but that was really the only thing I could find until I went, oh, I can cook my own food. I live very near the beach, so that there were joys and there were other things that were challenging to me. But one of the greatest joys I had working in Myrtle Beach was not too far from where I lived. There was a beautiful home decoration store that was just the most beautiful, wonderful place that I found in Myrtle Beach. I would go there two or three times a week and stay for hours. Just stay there pretending I was in New York or somewhere else that wasn't Myrtle Beach. The woman who owned the shop had some of the most exquisitely beautiful pieces. I still have about four or five pieces. This is over 30 years ago. To this day, they just resonate with me. They're some of the most beautiful works that I have. One day I said to the owner, I said, I've never seen a store like this. How do you do that here in Myrtle Beach? She said, here's the trick. I love what I do. I love what I do. I can't wait to get up in the morning and do this thing that I love to do. She said, I only sell merchandise that I would buy. If I wouldn't buy it, I'm not going to sell it. So I'm surrounding myself with all the things that if nobody else came in here to buy it, I would be perfectly happy. And people would come into the store because she was so warm and so loving. It was really a center for so many spiritual type people without them saying that it was a spiritual place, but it really was like a little church. I felt better leaving than I did when I went in there. And that's the mark of a true spiritual place. It's something that we hope to do, that we hope that we're doing here. That you feel better leaving here than you did coming in. And that's the way we know that we're doing the work that we're here to do. So her whole premise that I love what I do and I want people to be blessed and to have beauty when they leave here is really the secret, I believe, one of the wonderful secrets that we have of having the kind of life that we would like to have in life. She was a true artist. She was really a minister. She ministered to people. She had wonderful classical music playing. She would take the time to talk to people. People were always opening up to her about their problems, their lives. and she was always willing and happy to help them out. So let me ask you, do you feel about your work or your life the way this woman did? About your life, about your work, about what you're doing here on the planet? Are you experiencing the full joy of the beauty and the power of God through your career, through your talents, through the gifts that you have to share through your everyday life? Some people said yes, and if you didn't say yes, or if you're not even thinking yes, then why not? Why not? What's happening in your life? What is not happening in your life that is keeping you from having the kind of life that you actually came here to have? A life you knew about before you took the human form, before you came back in the flesh and said, here's what I want to accomplish. But somehow when we get here, we have amnesia about it. We forget exactly why we came here, even though our souls, our hearts, our inner selves know why we're here. We're all enormously gifted creations of God, of the universe, limited only by the belief that we aren't. We're only limited by the beliefs that we're currently holding about the truth, about our amnesia to knowing the spiritual truth about ourselves. Do we fully get that by this point? You've been coming to Unity for a little while. Do you really know that you are beautiful, holy, wonderful, and talented?
Yes.
Oh, good. Then you are listening. I'm so happy. That's so exciting when people are listening to me. I'm only limited by my thoughts, by my feelings, by the actions I take. I only limit myself here on the planet. Nobody's doing anything to me. That's really hard to get, especially when people are doing things to me. Or they appear to be. Or our family who loves us so much say, oh, why are you doing that? Or people or friends who love us so much say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. We tend to think that they have control over us, but we're just giving our opinions over to them. But if I don't listen to what they're saying, only kind of half listen and say, yeah, thank you for sharing, I know you love me, and I'm going to go do what I want to do anyway, then we are going to continue to move forward with only God sharing the truth of what we're here to do. And though it may not work the first time we do it, or the second, or the fifth, or the twelfth, we keep doing it until it takes. No matter how long it takes, we know the truth. There is why I am on the planet. And I'm going to have a great time getting to that point. It's not about the goal, it's about the journey to the goal. And once you meet that goal, then you have another journey to the next goal, and so on and so forth. One man who did not have a belief of limitation was a man named Leonardo da Vinci. He was a painter, a sculptor, a biologist, inventor, mathematician, physicist, anatomy expert, military engineer, architect, philosopher, musician, geographer, and astronomer, just to name a few of the jobs that he had on 1 week. Do you know why he ended up doing all those things? Really interesting. It was because he was born illegitimate. He wasn't allowed to go into his father's business of being a notary. So he did the only thing that an illegitimate child back then could do, one of two things. You could do manual labor, or you could become an artist. Those are the two options if you were illegitimate. So at 17, he apprenticed with a very famous and respected artist named Rocchio. He learned to paint, he learned how to cast bronze, and he learned how to make furniture from this man. At 20, he joined the Florence Guild of Painters, and he soon began receiving his own commissions. But just painting wasn't enough for him. He needed more to do. He had so many talents, it was just gushing out of him. He needed to do more. He kept notebook after notebook. He filled these books of things that really interested him in life. But like with all of us, no matter how talented we are, no matter how successful we are, there are things we all need to work on. It's true. You could disagree with me, but it's true. We all have weaknesses that we have come with that we're here to build up and strengthen. Leonardo da Vinci's major weakness that he had in life was that he was so right-brained in his journaling and his work habits. He had two different ideas. He had 12 different ideas going on in his mind at all times. And so on one page, he's frantically scribbling something about geometric designs. And all of a sudden, he'll interrupt the thought and he will write, the soup is getting cold, and then there's nothing, anything more about geometric design. He has already moved on to something else in his own mind. And this is part of the challenge that he had in life. As talented as he was, his major weakness was in not completing what he started. He had so many wonderful ideas, he would put something down and then he would be on to something else. Follow through is a big challenge that we have. Anybody relate to this besides me? Thank you. You are all Leonardo da Vinci's. Isn't that exciting to know? You're not the only one. The challenge was he began to get a major reputation around Florence that he would not complete assignments. That he would begin a project and then leave it. Because his mind would be working somewhere else. And with fellow artists at the time living in the same town like Botticelli, Raphael, and Michelangelo, there was a little competition. So he was not the only artist available. In fact, one of the greatest disappointments in his life was not only did he not do the Sistine Chapel, he didn't even get invited to audition. The other artists did. But his reputation preceded him. The Vatican said, thank you for sharing. But we don't need you. Because you're not reliable. You do not follow through in your ideas. So in his early 30s, he moved to Milan to work for the Duke of Milan as a court engineer. And he invented things like indoor plumbing. Thank you, Leonardo. He designed costumes for the court pageants, and he invented the first revolving stage for the theater. Isn't that amazing? Les Miserables has a debt of gratitude toward Leonardo. I guess not this production, the new one doesn't use that. But he also designed flying machines, the first helicopter, parachutes, war tanks, and he designed a collapsible bridge to keep the enemy away. Pulled a little pin. Guy was amazing. He was astonishing. And, of course, the Mona Lisa, considered to be the most perfect portraiture ever painted. Through his interest in science and anatomy, he discovered the condition of arteriosclerosis. He was the one who discovered that. But he was always in trouble with the authorities because he kept opening cadavers to look inside to see how that worked. And back then, it was illegal to do that. At the invitation of King Francis I of France in 1516, he moved to France to help the king draw up a new plan for a city that the king was putting together. And then 3 years later, he made his transition to the other side. Da Vinci was called the universal man, but was he really that different from you, from me? What made Leonardo a name that we remember today? Was he really that alien to the planet? Was he beyond human? What did he do to tap into all these wonderful ideas that he had? What did Jesus do to tap into all those wonderful ideas that he had, for that matter? What do all creative geniuses do to bring forth this power into their lives? And are you able to do the same thing? Can you bring forth that divine genius you have within you? Because we all have the same God. It should be no problem, right? Accessing the same wonderful energy that Leonardo had, that Jesus had, other great artists had. Or are they really that different? Are they different from you? I think one of the most important lessons that we can get from any master artist who has ever existed, like Jesus or Buddha or Da Vinci, Mozart, Beethoven, Einstein, Monet, and others, is simply the implacable understanding that they were doing what they came to the planet to do. I believe that's the only difference between me, between them, and all of us here, is that they had a real clear understanding of their divine plan, and they didn't let anything get in the way of having that come forth. And with that divine plan, they made the planet a better place to live. All of these people I just mentioned, and so many more, have made this a more exciting, beautiful, wonderful, creative place to live in. If it weren't for them, life would be very, very dull here in so many ways. There was a woman, she was 38 years old a number of years ago. She was a scrub woman. And on her days off, she would go to the movies. It was the only thing that really gave her much joy. But eventually it became not joyful for her because she would get doubly depressed watching the actors up there. She would look at a beautiful actress and she would actually feel pain inside of herself and say, oh my God, look at her. If only I had her looks, what I could do with my life. Or she'd turn the radio on and she'd hear a singer and she'd get in pain. She says, oh my gosh. She was so discouraged. She got depressed and so blue. She said, I can't sing like that. I would love to be able to sing like that. If only I had her voice, what I could do with my life. Then somebody gave her a copy of a wonderful inspirational book called The Magic of Believing. And in reading it, a wonderful transformation began to happen in her. She stopped comparing herself to other people, to other artists, to other singers, and she would just look at them and distance herself from it and just be grateful for who they were. She stopped complaining and moaning about what she didn't have in life. And she began to feel gratitude for the gifts that she did have, even though she wasn't terribly clear about what those might be. Then one day, as she was doing some meditating, thinking about her own life, she took inventory of herself, and she remembered that in high school, she was voted the funniest girl in class. So she began to develop and to use what good she already had within her. We've all heard that phrase, begin with where you are. That's what she did. She began with what she had to work with. And within a very few years, Phyllis Diller was making over $1 million a year. Isn't that wonderful? That was Phyllis Diller. Phyllis Diller. Complaining about how she wasn't beautiful, but complaining about how she couldn't sing. She wasn't pretty. She had a scratchy voice. She had a honking voice. You ever hear her? Phyllis is here. Welcome, Phyllis. We're so glad to have you here today. She returned from the other side to visit us today. But her great gift was she could make people laugh. She forgot about that. From high school, she forgot about that. She used her talents, let it develop, and she became such a wonderful success. Are you using your gifts? Are you beginning where you are? You say, oh, I can't possibly do that. Are you even aware of what your gifts are? I invite you to do inventory later today and say, what gifts do I have that I have never even considered to be something that is usable, that I could prosper and make the planet a better place through it? Are you truly aware of how extraordinarily valuable you are to God, to the universe? That you have gifts that are so needed on the planet, whether you are aware of it or not, your gifts are needed for the healing of this place we call our home right now. Where would we be without people who can make us laugh like Phyllis Diller? We need to laugh a lot, don't we? We need to laugh. We need to cry. We need to let go of the emotions that are within so we can do the healing. And our artists help do that. We're so grateful for all of our artists here. All of our singers, all of our actors, all of our dancers, all of you. We're so grateful for you. When I was a kid, I remember reading in Ripley's Believe It or Not, a column, and I never forgot this. They showed a plain iron bar, and back then the price was $5 for this plain iron bar. And they said after that the same bar, if it was melted into horseshoes, would be worth $50. If that same bar that was melted into needles, the worth would be $5,000. And if the bar was made into balance springs for fine Swiss watches, that one bar would be worth $500,000. $500,000 from a $5 bar. See, the difference is what we do with the art to create it. You've got the plain material, the iron bar. What we do with it makes all the difference. So you've got a gift within you and potential. What you do with it makes all the difference between a $5 potential and a $50,000, $500,000, $5 million career. Blessing to the planet. You see, it's not in the value of the iron, it's in the value of what you do with the gift that you have within you. As Calvin Coolidge said, nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Everybody's, we see so many talented people audition. But what are they doing with it? I've known so many actors in my own career who are so wonderful, so talented, but they decide not to do anything with it, but complain about who's not hiring them or who gets hired. Then eventually they just leave because that negativity cannot stay around other creative energy that's happening. To be the best we can, we have to learn to use our intuition as to how to use it. Now you've got the talent, now you've got to listen to God within you and say, here is what God is telling us. Make pins out of it, make a horseshoe out of it, make fine Swiss watches. What are you guided to do with your talent in this life? You have to go to your heart to find out what it is that you are to do and how to do it. How is not up to you. We all know that by now. How you're going to do it is not yours to do. It's about listening to God and moving forward with how God has. Our intuition is always speaking to us, but we keep arguing with it. We keep arguing with God over and over and over again, and we wonder why things don't work the way we want them to. This is where the still small voice in our gut and our heart is always telling us over and over again, this is what you got to do. Emily Cady in the book Lessons of Truth says, God is always tapping on the door of our subconscious. Sometimes that really taps really, 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 really loud. And we still keep ignoring it. When you ignore it long enough, you get anxiety, you get depression. If you're feeling depressed in your life, there's an indication you're not listening to God. Say, here's the wonderful life I got waiting for you, and you're arguing it can't possibly happen. And telling God over and over again why it can't happen. So we listen to the still small voice and we move forward knowing that we're going to be successful, but how, we don't know. Phyllis Diller did it. Phyllis did it. It's what the shopkeeper in Myrtle Beach did. It's what Da Vinci heard. It's what Jesus heard within. It's what all successful artists of life hear and act on when they hear the truth. The only difference between you and somebody that the world considers to be very successful is they listened and they moved on what they got. Whether they considered themselves spiritual or not, they still had faith that what they were here to do was going to happen. And they did it. Whether your desire is to be a comedian, a sculptor, a restaurateur, own a boutique like that woman did, retire to Vermont or the Cape to write, or simply to do nothing but meditate, if that is in your heart, if that is your life goal, then you can have it. Your job is to shut up. Quit squawking how it is impossible for God to do it and to let God do it through you. So the first step you got to do is believe it can happen. I downloaded that book. The book is out of print that Phyllis Diller wrote, but I found it on Kindle, The Magic of Believing. I forget who wrote it, but the guy who wrote it decided he read all the Unity books, all the New Thought books, every book available on success. And prosperity, and this is the book with the same languaging, but for those who are in the business world, those who consider themselves secular and didn't want to really read a religious or spiritual book. So he talked about the time that he went on a cruise ship, and as he was going up the plank, he was thinking, you know, I would really love to have a good time, and I would love to sit at the captain's table. That would be so much fun for me to sit at the captain's table. I'm going to try to see if I can do that. So he gets to the desk and he gets his packet and they said, oh, by the way, you're sitting at the captain's table. I said, how did that happen? Well, years later he wrote, when he said he was writing the book, he wrote to the captain and said, you know, I sat at your table, but I don't know how that happened. I was just a passenger. I wasn't anybody. I was just a passenger. How did I end up at your table? And the captain wrote back and said, you know, I remember that day. I was standing there looking at the passengers come on, and I had one spot left. And I looked at you and went, I want that guy at my table. I don't know why. I have no idea why I want him at my table, but I'm going to have him sit at the table because I have one spot left. He said, so I picked you. That's all I knew. I said, I looked at you and went, he's going to sit at my table. I have no idea why. The universe will bring your good to you when you are open and receptive and joyful and excited about it. That's how it works. That's how it works. You've got to get happy about it. Don't worry about how am I going to do this. Phyllis Diller didn't know how it was going to work. She wasn't beautiful. She had a voice like a duck. She had no discernible talent except funny. She said, okay, I'm just going to move forward and just know it's going to happen. How yours is going to happen is not up to you. You just have to feel joy and excitement about it. Okay, God, let's do it. You're in New York. You don't have to move here. You live here already. You got that all taken care of. The success in what we desire has to be, the first, number one has to be faith. God, you've got this. I in myself know nothing. Reveal it to me. What do I need to do? So where's your faith today? Is it in the absolute unshakable belief that God is at work in you right now? That divine principle is already moving through you, revealing what to do? That God is guiding every step of the way for you at this very moment? Or in the unshakable belief of, that's silly, it's never going to happen for me. I'm too old. I'm too old for anything to happen to me. Phyllis Diller was a housewife in her 40s with no discernible talent. But, oh, no, she's different. She's different. Why? Because she's Phyllis Diller. Well, she wasn't Phyllis Diller then. She was just Phyllis Diller. She became Phyllis Diller, but she was only Phyllis. You know, oh, yeah, but there are too many people who are brighter, prettier, more talented, stronger, smarter, and all the while better than I am. Ugh. I'm tired even just saying those words. It's exhausting to hold up the untruth that you are those things. Is it because it's not true? Your work is to hold on to your faith, to listen to your gut, to listen to your heart, to keep your faith and your desire and your joy foremost in front of you at all times. And have a whole lot of fun on the journey to getting there. That's what it's all about. Did you have a good time? The Talmud, that wonderful book of Jewish commentary, says when you get to the other side, you're going to be asked, how much fun did you have? How much joy did you bring? On a scale of 1 to 10, the Spirit's going to say, where were you in the joy level? Were you having a good time? Well, no, life was really hard. No. No. Life is hard for everybody. Okay, get over it. This is not an easy planet to be on. It's not an easy planet to be on. But it can be a really fun planet to be on. And it's always really interesting. And you get a chance to create your life exactly the way you want to. So get over it being a hard planet. Just get on with living life the way you were meant to live it. Having a great time being here and watching the abundance flow forth. But it can only happen when you believe it, when I believe it. If I don't believe it, my life is going to be a soap opera. We don't want that. There's too much drama already. So have faith that God is at work, and then be willing to move and actually move on what divine wisdom is revealing to you, through you. Faith, as the book of Hebrews defines it, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In unity, we define faith as the inner knowing that has no tangible evidence in the outer world yet that this is true. So there's nothing outside of yourself that says the dream that you have inside of you is true. Faith is knowing that God gave me this gift, that God gave me the dream, and God is bringing it forth. And then as you know it, you begin to see it little by little. Faith is paramount, but it's only the beginning. In the book of James, we read, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. So having the belief within is number one, and then acting on it, moving forward with it, is the second part. Without practicing scales night and day, the musicians at the Philharmonic wouldn't be at the Philharmonic, no matter how great their talent, their innate potential is within them. Phyllis Diller was funny performing to her cat at night, but until she moved forward to perform in front of a crowd and getting used to that day after day, it didn't really matter how funny she was inside of her. As amazing as Da Vinci was, his lack of follow-through often kept him from doing the things that he wanted to do. So faith is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is to act, to move on the information that you're getting from God within. A number of years ago, the writer Sinclair Lewis, was booked to give a lecture on how to write. And so, of course, the place was packed. people were standing at the back waiting to hear from this great man how to do this work that he did. So he went to the lectern with a huge ovation from the crowd. And when the aspiring writers of the audience calmed down, he asked, "Well, how many of you want to be writers?" Almost everybody put their hand up. He said to them, "So go home and write." And he turned and left the stage. That was the whole lecture. That was everything. And they're like, the hairs were still in the air, and he was already out of the building. It's like, oh. So it's up to you to write, to act, to dance, to open your own restaurant, to open your own boutique, to move to LA if that's what God is revealing, to move into Manhattan if that is what God is revealing. Let God reveal the joy, the love, the power, the passion that you have within you. Be passionate. Get excited every day about it. That's your job, is to get excited about it. Have faith that God has this wonderful special gift in this wonderful way only for you. And then follow through with your dream no matter how long it takes. You need people around you to support you in this. I know it can be really difficult. That's why we're here. We're here to hold in light with you when even the people who you love, your family, your friends, think you're crazy. We don't think you're crazy here. We think you're God-inspired here. So allow us to hold the dream with you. Take a breath. Close your eyes. Breathe into your heart. Let go and let God reveal that these words today were just for you. That God led you here today because you needed to hear these words. That God within you is revealing you've got so much wonderful life ahead of you. Allow me to do this work. You of yourself do not know how it's coming forth, but God within you certainly does. So we begin by going within and singing our meditation song, "I am so blessed for all that I have, for all that I am, and for all that God is." Let go. Let go of limited dreams and accept the good that God has for you right now.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed
for all that I am.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
And one more time, just a little quieter.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
Feel the peace of God in your body. Breathe that peace into every molecule, every muscle, every square inch of your being. If you're holding any tension, breathe light. And affirm, "Peace, be still. Let go. And trust God. There's no need to be uptight or tense in the presence of Spirit, in the presence of your Creator. God is totally recreating our body, our minds, and our lives every moment of every day.
and our full success comes forth when we allow God to do the work. Again, God isn't a person making decisions and has opinions about who and what you are. God is the pure love, light, life, joy of you. God is the fullness of all that there is. Longing for full expression. Where have I been denying God? Where have I not been allowing that wonderful energy of success and abundance to flow forth? Today, let go. I know that I myself don't know how to do my life. I cannot figure my life out with my brain. I can only allow the pure intuitive understanding of spirit to be revealed as I get quiet. As I listen to my heart reveal exactly what it is that my life is, that my joy is, that my gifts are. To know that I may not know the way, but God does. God is the way. That everything I've ever desired or dreamed of is still here. Am I willing to let go and let God bring forth my life? As I focus on this body temple, I know whatever pain or ache or seeming limitation there is released into God's care. That truly God is wholeness itself. And as I breathe wholeness into every part of my body, I feel the awakening of God in that body part, in my whole being. The spiritual ethers are filled with life. I am whole and well. Breathe that truth in. The spiritual ethers are filled with life. I am whole and well. Know this as your truth. If it's true for one, it's true for all. And healing is happening. We were not put on this planet. We did not come to this planet with any idea of lack. That is a human limitation. It is not the truth of God. So today I remember the truth. The spiritual ethers are filled with plenty. I am prosperous. No ifs, ands, or buts. The spiritual ethers are filled with plenty. I am prosperous. Let that truth take hold easily, gently, joyfully. We don't force truth, we simply let it flow. The spiritual ethers are filled with God. I am one with the One. The spiritual ethers are filled with God. I am one with the One. Breathe that in. Let go. And with joy, gratitude, faith and excitement, in the quiet of my being, I listen to that still small voice, and I know my life has purpose, that I am here for a divine purpose, that God is unfolding it now as I listen in the quiet. Be still and know that I am God. In one brief moment, we know the truth. We remember from the core of our being who and what we are. Divine, eternal, blessed, creative, talented, beautiful. All the things that God has created us to be. Today, I am awakened to the truth. There's only one power, one presence, God the good. And so it is.